Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Evan Drellick from The Athletic. Boy, good to have him on the show, especially since, Evan, we were holding off to 2:40 to have you on, but our segment started at about 2:36, so we've been tap dancing for 4 minutes until your arrival. Happy to have you with us. All guests, join us on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime. They've been doing it since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. All right, Evan, thank you so much for your time, sir. Great stuff. Love following everything you write in The Athletic. I always feel smarter when I read your stuff. So I'm hoping to feel a smarter again today. Where start with a bit of a general overseeing question, but where do things kind of stand with baseball? And if I'm a fan, how worried should I be at this stage that something could happen?
I'd be a little bit worried. I don't think it's a no-worry zone. So in the next couple months, probably no later than May, last time it was in April, the union and the league will start having negotiations about the next CBA. The current deal expires after this season in December. In all likelihood, we're going to have another lockout starting in December, just like last time. And the big question is whether this one is exactly like last time, where it ends just in time for the regular season, or are games actually missed this go around? And the big looming issue so far is the potential of the salary cap. Owners have long wanted one. They haven't made a big push for one in a while, but that's been brewing really for the last year or even beyond that since the last deal was reached. And so it seems to me likely that we're going to eventually get some sort of proposal for a salary cap. That in itself isn't the biggest deal. The biggest deal will be, are they sticking to it? You know, come March of 2027, really kind of the drop dead point by which you've got to have an agreement so that you can have at least, you know, 2.5 weeks of spring training or something like that. Is that proposal still going to be on the table, or will they find a way to play a full season of games? The industry is over $12 billion in revenue. There's a ton of money on the line. I think the rational incentives are for everybody to find a way to play. But that's the big question that looms at the moment.
Evan, first of all, I love your work, man. I really appreciate the work you do for the game of baseball in terms of keeping us informed. One of the things I've heard you talk about here recently is kind of, you know, among some of the other hangups, is the own kind of infighting within the owners and some of the teams at the top of the totem pole versus some of the at the bottom. How much of an obstacle do you think that can be as these two sides try to find some midpoints to maybe push this thing forward?
It's always an issue, and I think in some cases it's more of an issue than can they find a deal with the players. Is the ability for the commissioner to get his 30 owners and their groups on the same page. And even when you talk about the potential of a cap proposal, there are big things that they got to settle on internally if they're going to be able to move forward with that, they being the owners. You got to choose a floor that the small market teams can live with. You know, same thing with the ceiling for the big market teams. And yeah, that's even before you get to the point of trying to convince a group of players at the, in the union that historically, you know, for decades has said, we don't want to do this, that it's now the right thing to do. And the other part of this that's tied to a cap that doesn't necessarily have to be tied to a cap is the state of the sports media rights. Right. The RSNs are crumbling. The Padres, everybody's seen this, you know, where MLB took over their broadcast. MLB, there are some big changes MLB can make with media rights that would involve big changes to revenue sharing, meaning how money is shared between the owners themselves. The tricky thing about that is that revenue sharing is collectively bargained. It has to go through the players. So there's just there's a lot to deal with for the owners who, in this negotiation, unlike the last one, where the players have been angry for a long time, this one is about the changes the owners want to make. Mm. There are certainly things the players want, but the aggressors so far have certainly been the owners.
Evan Drellick from The Athletic, getting smarter by the moment here. Evan, thank you for all of this stuff. I kind of the opposite of what Tony asked, but is there any potential this time, because I don't really believe it's ever happened before, that the players aren't as strong this time as always in the past? I say that, you know, you got the Bryce Harpers, you got the cream of the crop. I think, you know, all of the things are nice for them. But it seems to me I'm hearing a little whispering anyway that maybe some of the rank and file players wouldn't really mind if there was a salary cap as long as you keep baseball going, because salary cap doesn't necessarily affect their salaries. Could that come into play at all, or the players are forever going to stay solidified?
It's a good question. I think history shows us it's unlikely that the players are all of a sudden going to flip-flop their position here. That doesn't mean the owners shouldn't test that or won't test that and try to see it. You know, well, hey, maybe. You know, look, it has been, you know, more than a full generation since you've had a true work stoppage, meaning games were missed, right? The 94-95 strike of 232 days is the last time people had to sit out and miss games. Yeah. It got real close last time in 2021-2022, but it didn't end up happening. And so, you know, is this group as steadfast as it was in the past? You can ask somewhat similar questions on the ownership side. You've got a lot of new owners. How are they going to stick together? Are their incentives all aligned? There is certainly a reality that for the owners, the moment you get a salary cap, your franchise values shoot up. If it costs you a season of games, if the players are really still entrenched in this position, is that trade-off worth it? You know, is it worth passing up whatever $13 billion that the two sides split to get to that point? So I think the league is trying to, including the commissioner, message to players, hey, you guys should consider how a cap could potentially help you. The union's position has always been economically, this will hurt us. Even if there are immediate gains over the long term, this is bad for players, don't do it. I am skeptical that they can get enough players to basically change their minds. And it's not just players, it's their agents who are you know, very close to the players. So is it impossible? No. Is it likely? No.
Yeah.
Evan Drellick joins us here, right? Does a terrific job for The Athletic in covering Major League Baseball. Evan, you've kind of alluded to it, right? It sounds like Rob Manfred has this grandioso plan to centralize all of the media rights. And it's right now lined up to all happen in 2028, which brings me to my next question, is how important are the issues now versus that big issue that's coming up 2 years from now? How does it all line up in terms of really missing games or locking out or striking before next season?
Yeah, it's interesting. So, you know, a lockout and a strike are kind of, they go hand in hand. The owners do the lockout, the players do the strike. You're never going to see, I don't think in our lifetimes, another strike in baseball, for the reason that the last one came in August in the middle of the season, and the owners are never going to allow it to get to that point. You're never going to see a season start without a CBA in place. Okay, so to the question about media rights, like I was saying before, where it's collectively bargained revenue sharing, that's where it becomes very important here. So what Rob Manfred would like to do is, instead of having the 30 teams control what they do with their local rights, meaning those whatever 100 games that go to your RSN. In the Padres case, it's, you know, those games go to MLB itself, because MLB is now acting as an RSN. Rob wants to control those and decide who goes where. And the reason is, when the league's national TV deals are up, so the Sunday game of the week, the World Series rights, all those come up in 28. The idea is to not only sell those again to the big streaming companies, but to sell the local rights to the big streaming companies. So, you know, if you're Peacock and you can bid on 15, 20 teams where everybody in that given market has to sign up for Peacock to watch their team's games, that there's some money to be made there potentially.
Don't do it, Evan. Don't let them do that. Don't let them do it.
The big market teams might not let them do it, right? Because the question then becomes, okay, are you sharing that money? How is this going to work? The big market teams aren't going to go, well, I still want to keep the money that I make. And so it all comes down to how does he want to change how media rights money is shared? Because the little market teams, you know, and we'll include the Padres in this, because they don't have a regular RSN anymore. They're with MLB. They're like, we're not getting any money from TV anymore. You got to help us out here. So it's what he wants to do with TV money has to kind of run through the players. And it's a very big decision. And the players will sit there and go, we don't want too much money centralized, because if all the money is centralized, then why do you have to work on your roster and make your team good? You're going to make a boatload of money no matter what you trot out there. So it becomes very intricate very quickly.
Evan, we got you for a couple more minutes, and we're not going to let you go, because, we appreciate your time. Real quick, from the Padres fans' perspective, and it's not all of the Padres fans' perspective, the Dodgers are bad for baseball, right? They spend way too much money. They make it almost impossible for, you know, the Padres to keep up and everybody else. From somebody with such a good understanding of the economics of the sport, how truly bad for baseball are the Dodgers? And should they be held accountable, or should we hold accountable the teams that don't try to compete, you know, the way they do?
You know, I grew up in New York, and I grew up not rooting for the Yankees, but was of the have probably partly because of that experience come to the opinion that having villains isn't the worst thing, right? The fact that you're asking me questions about the Dodgers, and the Dodgers get under people's skin, it's almost wrestling. You need your bad guys and your good guys, and I think in baseball there is some value to that. Now, whether you eliminated, like, let's say you went to a cap system, does that mean the Dodgers are no longer the bad guys? I don't know. And I think that's an interesting debate there. Look, the union and player position has always been the owners can spend more. I think it is a tough position for the owners generally, in that the books aren't open. You know, they're kind of asking you to trust them.
Yeah.
That said, we all know the Dodgers are making more money than the Royals or the Padres. So it's not a perfectly even playing field. It's also a sport where the best team wins, like, what, 65% of the time? If you get in the playoffs, you got a chance to make it. I don't get too hot and bothered by the Dodgers, put it that way.
Evan, amazing, fun. I hope we can tap your knowledge, down the road a little bit. But understand you got some big fans here in San Diego. Keep up the good work. Appreciate you coming on and joining us here.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate the kind words. Talk soon.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.